Proverbs chapter 24. And I'll be going to Ezekiel 33 also. Proverbs 24, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool, he openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward to the evil man, the candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. Nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me, I will render to the man according to his work. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Let's go back to verse 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Here Solomon, if he wrote that particular proverb, and it's generally believed that he wrote most of the proverbs, is echoing what his father David had said different times in the Psalms. In fact, it's mentioned I don't know how many times in Scripture, this warning about us envying evil men, envying sinners, envying the wicked. And here it says, neither desire to be with them. In Psalm 37, verse 1, 2, and 3, it said like this, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And I think the importance of this is many other sins spring from this one root cause. We call it peer pressure. When teenagers take drugs because they desire to be with those who take drugs, they desire acceptance. They drink because they're out with the crowd that drinks, and they want to be a jolly good fellow. And sometimes I know some sinner men that I work with, and they have some positive qualities. They're not all wicked through and through. They do things for one another. They help one another out. Jesus said the publicans do good to those that do good to them. There's some good things about them. Sometimes they tell clean jokes. Not very often, but occasionally they do. They have some clean fun. And, if you're trying to rationalize, you'll say, well, what's so wrong with wanting to hang around with those fellows? Well, the thing is, they have some good things about them. They have some good character qualities. But they have a lot of bad mixed in too. And they may bait you and draw you in on something good. I was criticized, and I didn't think anything would come out of this, any criticism, but you just never know. A fellow was selling dinners for the Moose. I guess it's a lodge up there, and turkey dinners that they were going to have. I said, well, what is this money going to? He said, well, it's going to help children, needy children. So I went ahead, and they were delivering it the next day to the mail, so I went ahead and bought one. Well, a fellow just jumped on to me about it. He said, well, if you want a dinner, you ought to just go ahead and order one, and you know, like it's none of your business what it's going to. He said, you guys are so one-sided. And just gave me a lecture. I said, this is America, pal. Get used to it. It's a free country. But I think what was really eating at him, and what's eating at several others, is a lot of the Christians voted down having the gambling. Well, the certain, I can't even think of the word, but casino gambling in the state of Ohio. And so that's just eating them up because we're spoiling their little party. And I've told them, I've said, hey, all I hear is gambling all day long as it is. I mean, now that the football season has started, they're betting over college and pro, and one of them said, well, that's illegal gambling. I said, well, but it goes on. I said, and besides that, there's the state lottery, which I'm against that too, but I said, there's already gambling I hear it all day long there at work. That's all some of those people want to talk about. And here they're all upset because they didn't get their little riverboat casinos. And what's wrong with that? Well, there's several things wrong with it. You know, it destroys the work ethic, for one thing. And I said, I don't want anybody taking my hard-earned money, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Therefore, I don't want to take their hard-earned money away from them. It's a foolish waste of money. And also, as the governor, I appreciated Governor Voinovich, what he said about it. He said, they know that wherever you have those casinos, crime comes right along with them. Prostitution and drugs. And I told him, I said, they know the mafia is hooked up with those casinos. That's no secret. They've known that for years and years and years. So I don't apologize for being against the casinos. And I don't desire to be with those men. Many a person has sold their soul for this very thing. And as I say, many other sins have sprung from this. You know, many a girl has given up her virginity because she desired to be with him. She liked this particular fella. She desired to be with a wicked young man. And so therefore, she wasn't overcome with lust. It was just a desire for acceptance that caused her to commit sin. And it was a foolish thing to do, because that actually, more cases than not, just leads to contempt for someone who does that. And it even leads to contempt. The world has a lot of Christians in contempt today, because they have compromised and sold their soul in order to be accepted by the world. Some of you might have seen this book Bill Burkett put out, Pentecostal but Not Charismatic. And he deals with this problem. It's rampant in the church. He said a lot of the O-line Pentecostals, in their desire to be accepted by the charismatics, in some cases even the desire to be accepted by the Catholics, they've thrown out doctrinal teaching, sound doctrine, and they've said, we don't need doctrine anymore. We don't need systematic theology. That is, we don't need to say, let's look at a subject and let's go through the whole Bible and find everything that's written about it and put it all together, and then we'll have a sound doctrine, whether it's a doctrine regarding salvation or regarding the end times or whatever it is. That's the way you get a sound doctrine, and they don't do that. They just pick so many modern preachers and teachers. They just pick out one scripture and one here and one there and don't even put it in its context. And they come up with false doctrine. They do it in order they desire to be accepted by the covetous. A lot of times, they desire to be accepted by the wealthy. And here he said, don't envy evil men and neither desire to be with them. This desire for acceptance is it's a natural thing. And it's even a God-given thing, and it can be a good thing if it's properly applied. See, I want to be accepted, but I want to be accepted in the Beloved. I want to be accepted most of all and first of all by God. And if I'm accepted by God, I'll be accepted by His people, by His holy and righteous people. But now, as to being accepted, desiring to be with evil men that Solomon's talking about here, and maybe he should have followed, if he wrote this, his own advice. You know what Solomon did? He married the daughter of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And most think it was a political marriage, making an alliance with that southern neighbor, southern kingdom that borders Israel. And that and other marriages, he probably had a lot of political marriages, in that he had 700 wives. He probably married princesses from all the kingdoms in the surrounding region. And you know what happened? They brought in their idolatrous practice. Then they said, I want a temple built, these wives of his, so I can worship my God. And so he brought in that idolatrous practice that later on divided the kingdom. Apparently, he desired acceptance. And those in the world, they desire acceptance. You know, we hear this so much. The Sodomites, they're saying, we want to be our lifestyle to be accepted as just another alternative, as being normal. We don't want you saying it's an abomination, it's a very great evil, it's perverted. We don't want anything. We want to be accepted, and they desire acceptance. Now, God doesn't accept it, and His people aren't going to accept it either, but they desire that so much. We as Christians, we have to be careful who we want to accept us. There's some people, if you're going to live right and do right and follow the Lord, most people in this world aren't going to accept you. And you have to learn to live with that, to take that to the Lord, and to realize, as Samuel apparently was fighting this battle of being rejected, and the Lord comforted him and said, Samuel, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me. If they reject you because you're standing for God and for His law, for His word, then really, they're rejecting God. You know, that's not a, don't make it a personal thing. Just say, I'm standing for God and they're rejecting me on that basis. Really, they're rejecting God. That's what he told Samuel. He said, they haven't rejected you. They, and Israel said, make us a king. Why? So that we can be like all the other nations around about us. And God didn't want them to be like all the other nations round about. He set it up to where He would rule. The judges and the priests would learn His law, and they would judge according to His law. And the law of God would be the king of the land, rather than just some arbitrary decision of a man. And you know, that's really the only two choices a nation has. It's either be ruled by God or governed by tyrants. Our forefathers, I'm not the first one who said that, our forefathers said that. A nation either says, the word of God, this is what we take, and everybody, including the king, if you have one, or the president, the Congress, Supreme Court, everybody is judged by this, and everybody is to be under this. That makes God the king of the land, the Lord of the land. Otherwise, it's just whatever the man in charge says. He changes it at his whim, and that's tyranny. And that's what any nation will fall into that ultimately that turns away from the Word of God. Matter of fact, just this week, I was watching some videos about Russian history, and the man made the comment, said so many of their rulers started out, he said they started out as progressive and they ended up as reactionary. He said it's a pattern in Russian history. Well, what they started out with as is they listened, many of these listened to the Greek or the French philosophers, the Enlightenment philosophers. Voltaire was the most famous. And they had a good view of man. And he said, if you just give people the most amount of freedom and liberty that you can, man is basically good and everything will turn out utopia. It'll turn out wonderful. And so Catherine the Great was one of these leaders who wrote all many years to these French Enlightenment philosophers. Finally, she ended up telling one of them, she said, what you write on paper, said, that's an ideal world, but she said, reality is something different. The reason they started out progressive and saying, I'm going to give all this liberty to people and I'm going to reform Russian society and give all this freedom. Well, they tried doing that and the people were basically corrupt. Most of them weren't Christians. Most of them were evil. And when you give those kind of people freedom without any sense of responsibility, opportunity without any sense of obligation, you end up with everybody taking advantage. It's like our own welfare state. It was maybe started by many men of good intentions, but they didn't realize there's a lot of freeloaders out there that will take advantage of every opportunity they can, very selfish and self-centered. So these Russian leaders ended up then, when the people abused their freedoms, when they became even more corrupt because they were no longer afraid of the government, they abused it, and then these leaders reacted, and they came down with the iron hand against them. Started out progressive, ended up reactionary. That may even be the story of Boris Yeltsin before it's over with. Our forefathers said, we're basing our government on the ability of every one of us to sustain ourselves and control ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God Almighty. They said, if we don't have a majority of people that say, I'm going to have self-control and I'm going to control myself, freedom won't work. Then if they abuse it, we'll have to come in with the bayonet and with the iron hand, and that's what's happening today in America. They have the freedom, but they don't have the responsibility. So what happens? Drugs, alcohol, which brings on crime. Most crime is related to drugs and alcohol. They abuse the freedom that they have. They abuse the prosperity that they have. And oftentimes the root of it is they desire to be accepted by the world. Well, Brother Burkett, again, he said he's Pentecostal, but not charismatic. And he says they compromised, many of them did. At first 60 years of this century, 1900, 1960, the Pentecostals were the fastest growing church in America. And I suppose in the world. But then along came the charismatics with a liberal, looser message, and they became a threat. I remember sitting in a state overseer's office, Church of God state overseer, years ago, and he said to me, the charismatics are the greatest threat we have. And the problem was the way they reacted to that threat. If we can't lick them, join them. That seemed to be the order of the day, the way they reacted to them. If instead they would have said, we want everybody to know that we are distinct and different from these charismatics. One of the things the charismatics did, they would tell the Catholics, stay in the Catholic Church. The Pentecostals said, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her plagues. The charismatic said, just stay in there, or whatever, if you're Lutheran, whatever church you're in, just stay in that church. Keep supporting the false doctrine. Well, he said that the difference between the old Pentecostal and the modern charismatic movement, he said truth has been sacrificed for personal preference. Just whatever doctrine you prefer. And that's the way the world is. The world says, do your own thing, man. Let every man do what's right in his own eyes. Character has been sacrificed for personality. And I certainly see that even in our political leaders. They say character doesn't matter anymore. Well, then it just becomes a popularity contest, and personality wins out. Anointing has been sacrificed for charisma. Repentance, no longer an emphasis on repentance. It's only on forgiveness. You know that? And you say, well, isn't God a God of mercy and forgiveness? Yeah, if we repent, He is. But they want to skip by repentance, a real sorrow and mourning over sin and a turning away from sin. And that's when we really seek true forgiveness from God. Sacrifice, the emphasis in Scripture, present your body a living sacrifice. Instead, there the emphasis of the charismatics is on prosperity and blessing. And I believe God blesses, and God can even bless us financially. But I believe sacrifice comes first. You know, you look at the Scripture, when Abraham sacrificed, then God blessed. God said, now because you have not held your son, your only son, I'm going to do all these things for you. Even in Solomon's case, Solomon sacrificed, one time he sacrificed 100,000 sheep. And then God would appear to him afterward, one time after one of the sacrifices he made, and he appeared to Solomon at night and said, ask what I shall give thee. Ask me anything, that one wish that you want. That's when Solomon asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him. But it was after sacrifice. Sacrifice comes first. You turn loose, as he said to Moses. You turn loose of what's in your hand, and then I'll bless it, and I'll make it a supernatural sign that you can use before Pharaoh. So sacrifice should come first. They have taken the emphasis from prayer put it all on praise. And as I say, these things sound so good. It's just like those wicked that we would desire to run with. They have some good qualities about them. They look like they're having a good time. What's wrong with having a good time? Well, there can be a lot of things wrong with it. And so praise is the church having a good time. But prayer, there are many kinds of prayer. Intercessory prayer, supplication before the Lord, fasting and prayer, and all the kinds of prayer, secret prayer, the church praying corporate prayer. Their emphasis is only on praise. Obedience has been replaced by pragmatism. And I saw that happen. Even in the Church of God, it's just whatever works, we'll do it. Their idea is whatever it takes to bring in a big crowd, do it. If it takes a bunch of muscle men parading across the platform, breaking chains, and then bring them on. If it takes dancers dancing, professional entertainers, comedians, they do that too. Whatever works, do it. That's pragmatism. And that's worldliness. You see, that's not only the philosophy of the apostate church, but that's what the world says. That's moral relativism. Goes right along with pragmatism. Well, if it works, do it. But a lot of times, things that work in the short term don't work in the long term. And then now what he said about these evildoers, don't be envious of them. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You see, you could do something that would lead to your immediate financial prosperity. But it also might lead to the destruction of your soul or your children's soul or your grandchildren's soul. You know. And if it's a compromise with God's Word, there's a great danger that it will lead to just that. Pragmatism is a doctrine of demons. It says, whatever works is good, and if it works, do it. But we as Christians need to say, whatever is in accordance with God's Word and in obedience to God, we'll do it, even if it looks like it'll never work. God will bless it, and it'll work in spite of. That's the way God does things. He blesses us many times in spite of the world being against us, in spite of the wicked, in spite of Pharaoh trying to hold down the children of Israel and mistreat them. God says, I'm going to bless them because they're obedient in spite of everything. Modesty has been replaced with glamour. Separation, the doctrine of separation. I don't care what you say about it, folks. It's a scriptural New Testament doctrine. Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, all the way through the rest of the chapter, talks about the doctrine of separation, as well as a whole host of scripture that talk about separation and holiness. Doctrine has been replaced with philosophy. And a lot of times, the philosophy that the charismatics teach is nothing other than Eastern mysticism with a cloak over it. You see, Hinduism and Buddhism teaches that the physical world is not real. It's an illusion. Life is but a dream, we used to sing the song. That is Eastern mysticism. Therefore, it's an illusion. If you will strong enough, you can change this illusion to suit the reality that you want. That's not only Christian science. Mary Baker Eddy taught that. That is the doctrine that they emphasize so strongly of creating your own reality. Positive confession. Positive, the power of positive thinking. Yeah. They take that and... Now, I believe in getting a hold of the promise of God and holding on to it. But God hasn't necessarily promised all Christians a Cadillac or $1 million home or that they're all going to be millionaires. There's always been rich Christians and poor Christians and middle class, and most of them in the middle class. It's the way it's always been, and I think it always will be. Law has been replaced by love. And really, the Scripture says they're the same thing. The law of God is a manifestation of the love of God because it's there to protect us, preserve us, and to bless us. And worship has become entertainment. And folks, it has. You would not believe some of the things that are going on in churches in the name. I mean, in the name of worship. But all it is copying off the world. Television, soap operas, right in the house of God, and plays that are indecent and unfit for anybody to see, let alone to be in the house of God. Worship has been replaced by entertainment. But Solomon said, don't even desire to be with them. I don't desire the acceptance of the world or of the apostate church. And if you ever find yourself desiring that, you need to get alone with God and repent. Desire is the cause. Neither desire to be with them. because God's got their number, and He's going to deal with them in due time. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. But trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Amen.